was an old farmer who lived by a rock. Sat in the meadow, was shaking his fist at some boys who were down by the creek. Feet in the water, their hands on their marbles and playthings. And in days of yore, they met a young maiden. She looked like a pretty young creature. She sat on the grass, pulled up her dresses to show us her ruffles and laces. With the white fluffy duck, said she was learning a new way to bring up her children and teach them to knit, while the boys in the barnyard were shoveling refuse and litter from yesterday's hunt, while the girl in the meadow was rubbing her eyes at the boys just like girls sometimes do, to make it quite clear that she wanted to go for a nice pleasant stroll on the grass. Hurry back home for a nice piece of ice cream and cake that stood three layers tall. After dessert, she was ready to go for another walk down by the dock. But then a young man with a sizable roll of 100s and a big bulge up front, he'd ask politely, she'd show him her little pet dog that was subject to fits. He'd reach on over, grab hold of her small tender hands with the movement so quick. She'd bend on over and suck on his soda so sweetly till she finished it. And pull down her panties to rub on her hip that she bruised as she ran down the halls. Cause he tried to force her to lick on his candy so tasty made of butterscotch. And then he spread whipped cream all over her cookies that she had been baking all night. If you think this is dirty, you're f***ing well right.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Tuesday, March 28th, 2023. Opening day is 2 days away. And the weather looks like we're going to get wedged right in between some bad weather, and we're going to have a great opening day. Friday is going to be crappy, and then Saturday, although it'll be cool, it'll be nice, and if you have tickets for that game, you'll be okay. And then Sunday, back up near 70 degrees again. So we're lucking out if the forecast holds. Let's just put it that way. How you doing, kids? You're at jconline.com. I am here to remind you that our big home opener extravaganza happens Thursday, and we're going to break with tradition a little bit. You know, our old publishing time was about 7 o'clock St. Louis time, but then we had to move that because very soon I'll be starting the new morning show on the new radio station, and I don't want to go up against myself, so we started making the podcast post time at 11 a.m., but on Thursday, we're going back to the 7 a.m. because I know that people want to hear that bright and early on Thursday. So on Thursday, we're going to make an exception, and then we go back to the regular 11 o'clock start time. Some of you asked questions about the new show and the new radio station. All I can tell you is I'm just waiting for the green light. I'm sitting here in the, in the go position, ready to just hop on it. But until they tell me that we can do it, can't really do anything except sit here and wait and let them finish all the testing and all the stuff they got to do in terms of the setup and the computers and the infrastructure and all those sort of things that go into launching a brand new radio station. But it's going to be happening. It's going to be happening soon. I know that. Well, I'm back from Sarasota, where I saw the Redbirds yesterday, and I am here to remind everybody how good we have it. Because you go to a place like Baltimore, and again, spring training facilities don't necessarily tell you a lot about the franchise, but I think it tells you a little bit about the franchise. I think it has a little to do with the franchise letting the fans and the players especially know, hey, we're running a first-class operation here. And when you go to Jupiter, Florida, and you see the, something like 13 practice fields, and the stadium itself is just wonderful, even though they have to share it with the Marlins, but that's okay. It actually seems to work out pretty well down there. And the Cubs have a real, real nice place down in Mesa, Arizona. And one of the other nice things about those ballparks, and a lot of the Yankees spring training facility here is like that down in Florida. You know, you have a village. You know, you have like a little mini ballpark village, especially Jupiter. Geez, that place, when they built that place, what is it, 97, I think it was, you'd drive out there and it was just like turning into an empty field. I mean, there was just nothing. And then off in the distance, you would see the ballpark, and that was it. There was nothing else there. Then they put in the golf course, and then they started putting in more shops and an industrial park, and it's to the point now where it looks like, you know, Westport or something with a baseball field. It's pretty built up. Never been there. It's a wonderful opportunity to get really, really close to the players and just to get out of the cold weather in St. Louis and get some sunshine and just that, you know, that smell, that ballpark smell. And you smell the peanuts and the bratwursts cooking and the pine tar, which is not something I think I would normally like to smell. But if you're at a ballpark, you smell the pine tar, really. It fits right in. It's great. So anyhow, this place in Baltimore yesterday is in just outside of Sarasota. It's not near the water. It's pretty far inland. And, you know, it's not that it's not nice. It's just that it's stripped down and there's no real, gosh, there's not much of tradition or anything. It sort of reminds me a little bit of Al Lang in St. Petersburg, where, you know, the Cardinals were there until, what, 97? And the players used to laugh because it was the Hilton Hotel, it was Al Lang Field, and that was it. There was nothing. There was nothing around. Now you go down there, first of all, they've converted that into a soccer facility, and you wouldn't even recognize the area. In the 30 years since the Cardinals left St. Pete, that area has been built up into one of the nicest entertainment districts with restaurants and shops and museums and all sorts of stuff. It's just wonderful. There's also a huge gay community just to the west of Al Lang Field now. But back to Baltimore here. Well, first of all, you go through Bradenton on the way through, and boy, is that a that town. That's a lot of zeros coming up there on the screen. Now, I get, you know, when you get closer to the beaches, you know, then it gets a little nicer. But if you're just going through downtown Bradenton, my God, not much to see. Not much to see. They get down to like Sarasota, it's just so old. Everything looks so old. It's just an old city with old people. Not that there's anything necessarily wrong with that. And the beaches are nice. And then you go out to places like Longboat Key, which in my first marriage, we used to go out there like once a year and spend a week at one of those tennis clubs. That's when I had money. And Bud Collins actually had some sort of facility down there for tennis. The guy who used to be the color commentator for Wimbledon, along with Dick Enberg. And that's, you know, that's beautiful down there. But again, you swing over to where the ballpark is. It's not a particularly attractive area of town. As I said, it's not that it's not nice. I mean, it's fine. There's some things that aren't painted. And the field's beautiful, but like their replay board. I mean, I think there's people who got TVs in their basements now that are bigger than the replay board. And it's not, there's no resolution to it or anything. It was almost like an old dot matrix type thing. Scoreboard looked like, you know, something from a high school field. But like I said, it's not that it's not nice. It's just that it lacked all of that tradition that you get with some of the more storied franchises like the Cardinals. I will say this, they have some real good food at that, but they have a Chick-fil-A inside the ballpark, which I don't understand. But you go out into left field and they have these Boog Powell sandwiches. Boog Powell was one of their big power hitters back in the 60s and I guess into the 70s. I'd have to look it up, but it was this giant guy. And they have a variety of sliced beef and pulled pork sandwiches with barbecue sauce and a bun and everything. They're $13, but I'm telling you, it was a freaking meal. I don't mind paying $13 for a sandwich like that, especially if that's probably going to be one of the biggest meals I eat of the day. I don't have any problem paying $13 at a ballpark for something like that if it's that good. And it was. A lot of senior citizens, but a lot of Cardinal fans at the ballpark yesterday. Still trying to get a clarification on what you call people from Baltimore. If you're from St. Louis, you're a St. Louisan. If you're from Chicago, you're a Chicagoan. If you're from Baltimore, are you a Baltimorean? Somebody tried to tell me, no, no, there's an I in there. Baltimorean. I was like, did you put the I in there? Is that for real? It also brings up the obvious question, what do you call people from Tampa? But I really liked what I saw yesterday. They had the starting lineup in for the first two at-bats. So it was pretty much the opening day lineup, and I really wanted to see Jordan Walker up close and personal, and I got a real good look at him. He took a called third strike in his first at bat, but he hit one so far out of the park foul that you're just going, the thing must have gone 500 feet. Now, it was foul, but there's some buildings that are beyond, they have the bullpens along the side of the field down in the left field and the right field corner, and he pulled this thing foul way over the top of the bullpen, and there's some buildings beyond the left field foul pole, and it bounced on the roof of one of those buildings, and people were just gasping. Tommy Edman made a great play at shortstop. Goldie had some pickups at first. Arenado looks like he's in mid-season form. Nolan Gorman hit a rocket to the deepest part of the ballpark for a home run. Cardinals win, and they looked good doing it. And again, we'll have our opening day podcast right here on Thursday. And before the game, I ran into a Cardinals senior executive, been with the team for, you know, I don't know, 35 years. And we were talking about the situation with Chip Carey. And he was telling me that Jim Edmonds, who did his first game with Chip Carey over this past weekend, came to him and said, man, you know, I love Danny. I've always loved Danny. I always will love Danny. But with all of his anxiety and all of his issues and all of his demons and everything like that, you work with Chip Carey, and it was like a day in the park. It was just like so easy. No stress, no pressure, no nothing. Just a great time calling a spring training game. And Jimmy Baseball not going to do a lot of games. I think it's something like 40 or 60 games. And Brad Thompson's going to do the rest, all along with Chip Carey. And everybody seems to be getting along just great. And the two stories for me this year are Chip Carey and Wilson Contreras. Nobody's ever going to be Yachty. Nobody will ever be Yachty. But having watched Contreras with the Cubs the last couple of years, I'm telling you, you should be so happy that we got this guy. And then in the booth, Chip is such a solid broadcaster. I just can't. It would be beyond me to understand why people would not enjoy Chip Carey doing the play-by-play for the Cardinals this year. And I know everybody was used to Danny Mac. Okay, I get it. But that story, that story has been completed. That book has been closed, at least for now. But being able to, you know, see the team in person, so much different than TV, as you know. But especially in spring training, we're trying to get a look at some of these guys that are unfamiliar. You can't just see them on TV when the camera's on them. You have to watch them when the camera is not on them, maybe when the play doesn't involve them. You're just trying to sort of observe things. How does the guy seem to carry himself? How does he seem to be relating to his teammates? What does his work ethic look like? Does the guy look like he's serious out there, or is he screwing around? As far as Jordan Walker is concerned, I got to come up with thumbs up all the way around. I like what I saw, and I really, really liked what I saw with the team yesterday. Well, I think it's finally time that somebody say the words. In America, people like guns more than they like children. You know, every time a politician is trying to get attention for something that they want, they always start with this crap about, well, you know, it's to protect the children. It's like, no, it's not. It's something you want, and you're using the children as pawns in this whole thing to make it seem like somehow children are being better protected, and how can you vote against something like that? Please come along with me in my quest to get this piece of legislation through, because it's, you know, it's really for the children. Well, if things are for the children, we have an awfully odd way of showing it. Americans love guns more than they love children. In any other situation, if something were occurring where it was obvious that children were being hurt, injured, or killed, that thing, whatever it was, whether it's lawn darts, TikTok, or lead chips in paint, it would be regulated, it would be outlawed, it would be legislated to the point where we got to protect the kids. We're protecting the kids. Except when it comes to guns. When it comes to guns, rules are different. And I've said this a million times. Do not misquote me because I'll get pissed. You know, I don't want your gun. If you want to have guns, go ahead. I talked to a guy the other day who has over 90 guns. He's a friend of mine. He likes guns. I don't want his guns. If he wants to buy another 90, let him. Well, I don't know. Come to think of that, you start talking, you get over 150 guns, then that's more like an arsenal, and then maybe it would worry me. I don't know. I got to think that one over. Give me some time on that one. But anyhow, the point is this. And don't kid yourself, there's a point. I've said this a million times. I don't have a gun, but if I lived in a situation where I felt a gun was necessary, I would go out and I would get one. But I just don't feel like I need one. So if you like guns, J.C. Gorgon is not your enemy. All I am trying to do is continue to shine a spotlight on the statistics that have been in place for many, many years now. Many, many years, where even NRA members are saying, oh yeah, we want stricter background checks. It's up around 90%. But our politicians have created bases for themselves that they themselves, the politicians, are terrified of. And the third rail in this whole thing is gun legislation. But you can't tell me there isn't a way to make it happen. You know, if they got together and just figured out a way to market it, you can market anything. You can market anything. Look what they did with critical race theory, which isn't even being taught in most schools.
Like, what wouldn't you like to
because
see taught in school?
There's critical race theory.
Yeah, that critical race theory, as soon as I heard about that, I'm like, why are we doing this?
What is critical race theory?
I don't know. I haven't.
Right. What's the most important issue in the governor's race here in Virginia?
Getting back to the basics of teaching children, not teaching them critical race theory.
And what is critical race theory?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it because I don't understand it that much, but it's something that I don't, what little bit that I know, I don't care for.
And what have you heard that you don't,
well,
that you
I'm
don't
not,
like?
Well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't... I don't have that much knowledge on it, but okay. It's something that I don't care for.
That's what we're up against. That's what we're up against. Go on Fox News and just keep saying critical race theory bad, critical race theory bad. Say it, say it, say it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. And now you got people walking around going, I'm against it. Well, what is it? I have no idea. But we're pretty good at protecting the children from drag queens. Not so much assault rifles.
The shooter had three weapons, more weapons found at their home. CNN's Carlos Suarez is in Nashville this morning. Tell us first, Carlos, about what we're learning this morning about how much planning went into this shooting.
Well, Jim, good morning. So according to the chief of police out here, we are expected to get a look at some of the body cam video from the officers that responded to the site of this school shooting. The chief of police also said we should be learning a little bit more about the other sites that the 28-year-old shooter planned to visit after opening fire inside of this private Christian school. Now, according to authorities, the 28-year-old was ready for a confrontation with police from the get-go. According to investigators, she had several rounds of ammunition. She had planned out this entire attack, according to some writings and statements that authorities are attributing to her. They say that she knew exactly what she was doing. She laid out this attack. She knew the entry points to this school. And so we're expected to learn a little bit more about some outstanding questions in this investigation. Now, overnight, we also learned about a direct message, a DM that was sent by the 28-year-old shooter to a former basketball teammate. Averiana Patton tells us that she received this DM shortly before the shooting yesterday morning. It reads, quote, "One day this will make more sense. I've left behind more than enough evidence behind, but something bad is about to happen." Now, Patton says that she received that message a little bit before 10 o'clock in the morning and that she called authorities right around the time the shooting happened. But according to her, an officer did not show up to her house. House until 3:30 in the afternoon. And so that is one of the questions that remain unanswered out here, is why officers perhaps did not show up to her house a little bit sooner. The chief of police was on CBS this morning and provided a little bit more information on where the investigation stands right now.
The investigation is still ongoing into this whole incident. But what detectives have said so far is there's possibly some resentment for having to go to that school.
Well, Tennessee is one of 25 states in this country that allows anyone over 21 to carry a concealed weapon without a permit. Lawmakers in the state are considering several pieces of legislation that would even further loosen restrictions on firearms. Lawmakers have introduced a bill that would allow all residents from age 18 to carry handguns without permits. A proposal that would allow residents to openly carry any firearm, including shotguns and AR-15 style rifles, like those used in this shooting, without a permit.
You see, sometimes people get mad at me when I laugh at these school shootings, but I laugh only because of the absurdity of the whole thing. Not only are we not going in the right direction, we're going full steam ahead in the wrong direction. I always say, if you had a traffic problem, you would not add more cars. But I really think that's it. People don't see this as a problem because we like guns more than we like children. That's it. I'm done. The Donald Trump watch continues. And I've talked about this before. You really have to wonder how all of this is looking to our foreign adversaries and even our foreign allies. They must be looking at us going, I remember a time when America was this, it stood for this, it meant this. What are these people doing over there? Now, I'm going to play you something, and you're going to swear that I made this up or that I've edited it or something like that. I assure you I have not. This is straight audio from something called The Graham Norton Show. Graham Norton has a very, very popular television talk show in Great Britain. And what they do is they get mega superstars, four or five of them sometimes, and have them all sitting on this couch, all interacting with one another. In other words, if you watch Jimmy Fallon or Stephen Colbert, it's one guest at a time. You watch James Corden, and he, shall we say, borrowed the concept from Graham Norton and just basically said, no, let's bring everybody out at the same time. Now, in his case, he only has two people out, but Graham Norton puts out sometimes three, four, five people. So he's got Margot Robbie, he's got Reese Witherspoon, and at the very end, Harrison Ford. And these people are all sitting there on the couch, live audience, and listen to what he pulls out. If you haven't heard this before, you're not going to believe it.
President Trump. He made the commencement speech.
Yeah.
And then it turned out it bore quite a strong resemblance to Elle's graduation speech.
Yeah.
In the lobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah. Was it Jimmy Fallon who found this out? I know it was all over the internet.
I don't know. Maybe it was on Jimmy's show.
If you haven't seen it, it's sort of unbelievable. We'll just show them the thing.
That we take our next steps into the world.
You must go forth into the world.
It is with passion.
Passion.
Courage of conviction.
Courage in your convictions.
And strong sense of self.
Be true to yourself.
We did it!
I did it.
Tina!
No!
I can't believe I've never seen that. I've always fallen down YouTube rabbit holes, and I missed that completely.
It's true. He is better when he sticks to the script.
I'm running out of ways of dealing with this stuff. I really am. The Gwyneth Paltrow thing continues. I don't know who's telling the truth, but if you put a gun to my head and said, who's telling the truth? I would say Gwyneth Paltrow is. Looks like a money grab to me. First of all, you go skiing. There's going to be times when people collide with one another or collide with something else, like a tree. Accidents happen. And it's not always because of negligence, which is what you have to prove in a trial like this to get money out of somebody. And I used to like Gwyneth Paltrow a lot, and she's a fantastic actress. But there's a point at which you just think, I think I've just had enough of you. All right, late night tonight, Adam Sandler's on with Penn and Teller on Jimmy Fallon. Ben Affleck is on with Kimmel. Colbert has got Mary J. Blige. Owen Wilson and Jeff Goldblum on with James Corden. And Seth Meyers as Andy Samberg and Fred Armisen. Nick Cannon, for whatever reason, was in town in St. Louis last week, late last week, and he popped up at some of the TV stations. And some of these women, particularly the black women reporters and anchor people, were acting like 13-year-old girls when Taylor Swift walks in the room. What is it about Nick Cannon that you admire? They keep going to the well on Mean Girls. Now Rachel McAdams said she'd be open to having a cameo in the Mean Girls musical if Tina Fey asks her. Molly Shannon is going to host Saturday Night Live on April 8th. And then Ana de Armas, who played Marilyn Monroe in that movie, she's going to host on April 15th. Can't believe Lady Gaga's only 37 years old. Birthday today, Julia Stiles, 42. Kate Gosselin, still considered a celebrity, huh? 48. Vince Vaughn, 53. Reba McEntire. There's something about her I like. I can't put my finger on it. She's 68 today. Diane Wiest, who was Kevin Bacon's mom in Footloose. She was also in Edward Scissorhands, The Birdcage, Practical Magic. You know, a lot of movies. 75. Alfred Hitchcock, 60 years ago today, The Birds was released. Of course, Melanie Griffith's mom, Tippi Hedren, in that movie. Houses of the Holy came out 50 years ago today. One of the greatest songs ever recorded, the Rain Song on that one. Rocky won Best Picture at the Oscars on this date 46 years ago. The year was 1977. And 28 years ago, what possibly could have gone wrong in 1995 when Julia Roberts and Lyle Lovett announced they were separating after 21 months of marriage. Vacation season upon us, actually spring break just having wrapped up, and a lot of people were flying. What is the number one thing airlines could do to make flying more enjoyable? You don't have to think too hard because AI already did the legwork. Some professor at Mizzou had an AI program analyze 400,000 customer reviews for six major airlines, and here are the 11 suggestions the AI computer came up with. Number one, more flexible seating arrangements. Issues with seating, one of the most common complaints it saw. Self-cleaning bathrooms, somehow automated so they're constantly disinfected. Personalized comfort settings, so you could do things like change the height of your seat or the temperature of air coming from your overhead vent. Redesign the overhead bins, maybe some more bags or bigger bags would fit in it. Use analytical models to optimize flight schedules so there'd be fewer delays. Use AI to monitor equipment and reduce mechanical delays. More flexible booking policies like no cancellation fees and being more upfront about prices in general. Well, that's where they make their money. That's where they make their, it's like bank fees. You know, they don't even want you to know what all the bank fees are because that's where they make their money. Last thing in the world the airlines are ever going to do is get rid of cancellation fees. That's where they just start stacking it up. Number eight, give ticketing agents more performance-based feedback and social praise to boost morale and improve customer service. Maybe you could do something like train them all in jujitsu so one of these redneck Hoosiers loses their mind and starts trashing the place and taking swings at gate agents. Just flip them. Number nine, keep track of, and I'd pay to see that too. Number nine, keep track, I'd pay extra for that. Keep track of luggage by putting trackers on every suitcase. And finally, number 10, there's more, wait, 10. If there's any issue with your baggage, you should get a text. Number 11, speed up the TSA line by using biometrics like face recognition to ID everyone. It'd be faster than showing your boarding pass and your ID. Again, all this coming out of Mizzou and some professor there and some AI machine, which is going to be taking all of our jobs. Here's another one of those computer-based things, one of these AI things, and you have to wonder what the point is. What would be the point of this? A new virtual reality simulation tries to give people a taste of what it's like to die. And it's apparently so convincing that it causes anxiety and panic in some people. Gosh, you think? So you can raise your hand if you want to get out of this one. There's still no official word on the future of daylight saving time here in this country, but Greenland has officially opted to stop changing their clocks. And a TikTok trend says you should wash your ground beef before you cook it. Experts say, no, it's TikTok and it's stupid. Go eat a Tide Pod. And they caught a great white shark off the Alabama coast The locals there couldn't stop looking at it because, after all, it was Alabama, and the shark had all of its teeth. And with that, the J.C. Quark podcast. I like that one. Tuesday, March 28, 2023 is in the can. Opening day's 2 days away. Weather looks like it's going to be great. Our opening day extravaganza will post at 7 a.m. St. Louis time on Thursday morning. Please let everybody know that we're here doing this every day. If you got friends, family members, coworkers, strangers on the street, just Jason Corcoran podcast, check it out. It's real simple. All you do is click, click, and it starts playing. We made it pretty easy, and it's absolutely free, and there you go. You may contact me, JC at jcontheline.com, Facebook the Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran podcast.